Welcome to the Life in Deep Ellum podcast, exploring the sacred in art, faith, and community.
Hey, y'all. So, we're streaming live again, if you hadn't noticed, if you hadn't told a friend. I encourage you to stay tuned, however, to our social media and to the newsletter this week. This is one where you will want to click on them when you get the notification so that you can get the details of how we'll be safely reconnecting in the weeks to come. So this week, we're continuing our series, A Beautiful Story, where we are exploring some of the Old Testament to discover more about the nature of God and who God wants to be to us in our everyday lives. So we find the story for this week in Genesis, the second chapter. So last week we read the creation story. And this week in Genesis chapter 2, it begins like this. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work. So on the seventh day, God rested from all the work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested from all the work creating that he was doing. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a tree in a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground in the garden, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four waterheads. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all of the wild animals and all of the birds of the sky. God brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all of the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all of the wild animals. But for Adam, no super helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of his ribs, and then he closed up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib, and he made out of the man. He brought her to the man. "Now this is the bone of my flesh and the flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman. That is why a man leaves his mother and is united. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die.'" "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." When the woman saw that the fruit was of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the woman and the man heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" Then the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. They will crush your head and will strike your heel." To the woman, he said, so that was to the serpent. To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will have birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the fruit about which I commanded you, you must not eat from. Cursed is the ground because of you." Cursed is the ground because of you. "Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will turn." And Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After God drove out the man, he placed on the east side of the garden cherubim and flaming swords flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Ooh. That's not how we thought things were going to go. Plot twist. Like, God makes all of this beautiful stuff. God makes us. Spends all this time sort of thinking about how to make us and thinking about, you know, what we should name. Together, we got to name all of these things. And then, woo, banished. Man, that's a crazy story. One thing to help us recall sort of our focus is that the thing about the Old Testament is the main character in the story is God, not us. As a written work, the point of the Hebrew Bible was to chronicle the stories and testimonies of the nature of God toward the people of God. So in this story, we find Adam and Eve and a serpent. See, the thing that we must understand and why we must bring to our mind that God is the main character of the stories in the Hebrew Bible is because our understanding, our extrapolation, our exegesis, our teachings must focus on the fact that God is not trying to give us laws in the stories. See, the Jewish people, which is what the Old Testament is for, had their laws. By the time the Old Testament is written, the Torah, which is the written law, as described in the Old Testament, you can't write about something, right? You can't describe something that hasn't been written. So the Torah has already been given, as well as the oral law. So the rest of Jewish law, the oral law, the Talmud, had also already begun to be passed down. So by the time we get the story of creation and we get the story of what has happened in the Garden of Eden, the fall, as most Christians understand it, laws were already written and known. The Old Testament is written after millennia of Jewish life. They didn't need these stories to know how to live. They needed these stories so that their children would not forget the nature of God, what God had done for them as people. So then, what does the fall story have for contemporary Christian culture? What does the fall story tell us about God? So if you go back, particularly to the portion known as the fall, which is the whole of chapter 3 in Genesis, you get two things. Notice I said, if you read the story that's in the third chapter of Genesis, not adaptations of the story, not movies about the story, not even sermons about the story, but in the third chapter of Genesis, God is not pleased by the cause of confusion. Especially confusion that disrupts discernment and intimacy. God had put Adam and Eve in the garden naked. And here comes a serpent, that says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The second thing that we read in the story is that God will cover our vulnerabilities. Though God desires for us to be intimate and vulnerable, as we commune with God and those God has set us in community with, God will cover us. Even after it's all said and done, in the last verses of Genesis 3, it reads, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us. And then in the 23rd verse, God sends them out of the garden. But God covers them. God makes their garments. It's in the story. There's no need to extrapolate about the nature of God. God is displeased by confusion that disrupts discernment and intimacy. And God will cover our vulnerabilities even as we are experiencing the consequences of our decisions. Though in verse 1, we see those that intend to create confusion regarding what we've heard from God by questioning the voice of the Lord in our life, we also see that a response in verse 14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this. Disrupting how those among us seek God, hear from God, and live what God has said to them, not you, is something that displeases God. The serpent did this, and the serpent experienced consequences. The Lord said, cursed are you above all livestock and all animals. To the woman, he said something different, and to Adam, he said something else altogether. when he addressed Adam, because he had spoken directly to Adam, because you listened to someone else other than me, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Disrupting discernment displeases God. But that is not the curse. That is not the consequence of Eve's actions. What God says to Eve is something altogether different. Additionally, the disruption of vulnerability and intimacy are also what we see God address. In verse 8, when God goes looking for them, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. God addresses this in verse 11. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Often in Christian community, we have taken the translation of commanded in this sentence to mean that God intended obedience and worship. However, the Hebrew word here, sava, is actually equivalent to the English version of permission. That God was leaving them to be free in the garden to tend and keep rather than worship and obey. When someone gives you intimacy and vulnerability to tend and keep, and you betray it, they must now make themselves safe. God does not address obedience. God addresses the disruption of intimacy, vulnerability, and discernment. There have been many scholars that have taken the translation and focused on obedience, but that is not what God addressed. God did not mention obedience. God mentioned listening, attending, vulnerability, showing our full selves when God calls. As the desire for God's creation, God wanted us to show ourselves when called. When mentioning what was commanded, God immediately follows with statements regarding truth and clarity. When you look at verses 11 and 13 and 14, God is talking about connection. Where are you? Who told you something other than what I told you? The consequences of the fall for our life are greater space to traverse as we discern and confirm the voice of our Lord. Yet God did not make it impossible for us to hear his voice. We can still hear from God, even as God fashioned clothing for us to be safe outside of the garden. The internal life of our hearts and minds can transport us today back to the garden. Jesus showed us how when he prayed in the garden at Gethsemane, and in the last series, we learned about the life of Jesus through the stories of Mark. And we learned that to cry out for the one that we believe in, that is how we escape a desolate life outside of the garden, through prayer and communion. We were created to hear God's voice. And even as a consequence of disruption to intimacy and vulnerability and discernment, God still covers us. As Gina taught us, openness and prayer brings us back into communion with God. They uncover our soul. The intended space of intimacy and truth with God is now inside of us. We are not broken, but authentic. Reverent and vulnerable every time we pray. We were created to be fully authentic. The story in the second and third chapter of Genesis is not a story of disobedience and brokenness. It is a beautiful story of healing and God recreating right relationship and provision. It does not actually show God angry and oppressive. When you read the words in the story, it shows that even a God who is betrayed by their very creation, by God's beloved, that even in that betrayal, God will cover us. In the garden, Adam and Eve, hiding and confused, were found by God and set right again, given covering, provision, and a new home. God didn't say in the story, "You're on your own now, kid." When you look at those verses, God makes them new clothes. And though it will now be harder than it was in the garden, God still allows what they were made to do, give life and tend the earth to happen. This week, as we prepare to find safe ways to return to connection with each other in the gathering, I'd love for you to find someone and share the ways that God has come to find you. I'd love for you to share with one another the ways that God has covered you. As you ask these questions, though the stories may seem foreign and the experiences may be something that you were taught growing up was wrong, I'd love for you to go walk alongside someone this week until you recognize God. As you share those stories of how God has found you and covered you, if you place God at the center of your fall story, whether your role is Adam or Eve, or even the serpent. And depending on which one of your fall stories you tell, whichever one comes to mind first, because believe me, we all have more than one fall story. Scripture says that we are but a few days old and full of tribulation. I wonder what you'll find if you cast God as your main character. When God becomes the main character in your story, can you see how it's made beautiful? I love y'all. See you sometime this week.